I'm going to ask Dr. Ray Yoder to come to the pulpit at this time. Ray and Paula have already shared in our Sunday school hour, but we're very happy that they are both with us today, and we are congratulating Ray as the first Southern Methodist missionary to have earned his doctorate. Congratulations. Glad to have you, Paula. You can make yourself at home, sit here or stand up or whatever. You take orders from him, not me.
We're going to just tell stories about Cameroon, about mission life. Again, I want to thank each one of you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for your prayer support, your financial support, and that you're a part of us in ministry, first in Cameroon, now to Southern Africa. Let Paula begin.
Good morning. I'm going to tell you a story of a gal named Fauzia, and there are actually two of them, and I think both of their stories are fun ones, but I'm going to tell you first about Fauzia, small Fauzia, they call her. Fauzia was the niece of Hama, and how many of you know who I'm talking about when I say Hama? Hama was the first believer in Marwa, and Ray baptized him several years ago, and then he has baptized others, and there's quite a few now, and Fauzia told me just a few days ago, right before we left Cameroon, actually, that she wanted to be baptized. Fauzia no longer lives in the same village or town that her mother lives in. Her mother is, I used to call her the woman at the well, because Fauzia's mother had been married 5 times, and when I met her, she wasn't married to the person she was spending her time with. So she was a challenge for me. She was most fun, loving person. I always said she never really fit into the full bay type of person because she was so boisterous, and that just didn't seem very Muslim to me. She wasn't like the rest of the women I knew who were quiet, obedient to their husbands, didn't get around. She would laugh at funerals. She was a jokester. She seemed to know everybody on the road. She would greet men, women alike. So I was trying to get my head around this person, but at the same time trying to love her. Hama was her older brother, and Hama had decided to follow Jesus, and he seemed to have a whole lot more common sense. But Isatu was always doing things that surprised me. But while she was hard to put your finger on, Fauzia was very quietly being a submissive daughter. She stayed inside. She would not go off, even like other of her cousins would do. And eventually her mother married her. I was disappointed that she married her to a man in the family who'd been married and divorced. But Isatu, her mom, was just desperate to get her out of the house before shame would come on her head. So Fauzia dutifully married this guy, and this guy got a snake bite. And so he had to leave his job of driving a truck because he had a snake bite on his foot. And they had to take him to a traditional healer, and then after that didn't work, they took him to actual medical people. And he finally was healed, and that was quite a ways away from Isatu's home, Fauzia's home, so she had kind of lost contact with the people in her family. But she had taken one of those MP3 players. Now, you remember, we really banked a lot on the MP3 players that had God's Word in their language that we were handing out to people. So she goes off with this MP3 player, and her husband took it to the market, and someone stole it. So here you go, you've got the word, and all of a sudden they don't have the word again. So how do you get it to this gal who's a long ways away? You don't, unless you know someone who's going that way. And once you know it, it's on the other side of where Boko Haram came into Cameroon. So it was even harder as the months went by to get in contact with her. And then God did an amazing thing. He moved her and her husband to the southern part of the country. And she kept those stories that she had heard in her heart. She didn't have them to listen to anymore, but she was a long ways away from home and building friendships with people, lots of people. So when we called her and said, you know, Fauzia, we're in Yaoundé. It's not too far from where you live now. Is there any way that you can ask your husband and he'll send you to Yaoundé? So I thought first she was just not going to come because I didn't hear anything from her. And then a day before we returned to Yaoundé from that midway place where we had met the other believers, she calls me and she goes, my husband said I could come. I'm coming to Yaoundé. She'd never been to Yaoundé. It was like the country mouse going to the city. She had no idea what to look for, and she's like, am I going to be able to meet you when you come? So we were able to pick her up at the bus station. She was so excited. She'd never been to the big city before. She was used to country. And she came, and she talked to us, and she listened to stories. We were able to put the stories on her phone by putting them on a little micro SD card, stuck them in her phone, and she was so excited. She goes, I'd had those stories before. Now I have them again. So I told her all the stories about what had happened to the church in the north, and she goes, really? I heard that story about baptism, and she goes, why couldn't I be baptized? So she wants to be baptized. She's going back with those stories. She said, I will have all my friends come and listen to these stories in my house now that I have them on my phone. So God is at work in a very marvelous way, sharing the truth of his word by just common people with things that happen in their lives. And God has changed some of the lives around from being people who are people we wouldn't expect to be Christians. Aisatu now is married, happily married to a man who's listening to the stories with his whole compound with Aisatu. That's the mom who I thought was, whoa, is she going to ever straighten out? So there's a whole church, if you will, meeting together at Aisatu's house. Fauzia has gone back. She and her husband are listening to stories. And God is just multiplying the church through people like Fauzia.
Paul mentioned stories. The stories are actually chapters from the Bible. They are biblical, they're scripture from 26 or so in the Old Testament, all of Luke, as well as a few others like a couple in Acts and various other places. Paul mentioned a bit about Fauzia. I want to mention some people who were not Muslims, but they are sharing their faith with Muslims. Several years ago, as we started looking at my doctorate, the time for me to get a doctorate was getting shorter and shorter because I had to finish by such and such a time. We said, okay, let's start working. Let me start working on the project, and let's see how we can incorporate that in our ministry. And so what we did was that I took a church multiplication seminar that helped people know how to share their faith with Muslims, and I developed that so that it would fit the African context of learning and teaching. And so through the course of working on a doctorate, we had about 8-9 different seminars with pastors, church leaders. We first started very close to Mara, where we lived, and then we expanded and went south. We, all in all, we taught over 100 people how to share their faith with Muslims. I would say about half of those people were pastors or evangelists, and the other half were lay people. As time progressed, Boko Haram, we talked a bit about Boko Haram this morning, but they began to do operations in Cameroon. The biggest thing that they like doing is to kidnap Western people for money, people with white skin. And so as people from northern part of Nigeria, the missionaries there, they all fled Boko Haram. There were no white people to kidnap in the parts where they were in Nigeria, so they turned to Cameroon, and they found people. They found a family in 2013 on vacation. They kidnapped the mother, father, a brother to the father, and four kids. For their effort, They got around $3.5 million. And so what will you do with that? Say, hey, it's working. Let's use the money for arms and whatever, and let's do it again. And so they continue to have operations in Cameroon. And then last April, they kidnapped two priests and one nun about 12, 13 miles from our house. So we said, we prayed and talked to the mission leaders, and we said, it is time to go. So we left. And now, as you see, we are no longer in the area. But what happened to those 110 people that were in our seminaries? And that was one of the things that kept on burning on our hearts. Right after we left Cameroon and came to the States last year, we called a lot of people, and we found out that, yes, a lot of the pastors are still sharing their faith. Some pastors are teaching their church members how to share with Muslims. One pastor was teaching the young people, the teenagers and adults, how to share their faith. Not only was he teaching them, but they were going out together and sharing their faith with Muslims. And so we called and called and called people, and yes, they were sharing their faith. Many people had a Muslim background, believers, because of that. We praise God for it. Paula mentioned our recent trip to Cameroon, where she talked with Fazia. Right before then, we went up halfway to Mara. We heard that it was still too dangerous in Mara. Boko Haram, they were still doing a lot of murders in Cameroon. They had taken a group of people from a bus. They beat them, and then they killed them. And that happened quite close to Mara. So with all that, we said, no, we will take a flight halfway to Mara. And Paula mentioned this morning of spending the night in the airport because the company didn't pay their insurance on time. And so we slept in the airport because of that. But we went there. And a pastor who was in our seminar, one of our seminars, he came down. Well, several pastors came down to Montgomery, but one in particular, his name is Pierre. He had taken our seminar that we taught people how to share their faith with Muslims, and he took that seminar, he translated it into his mother tongue. And then now he is teaching that seminar in the language of Muslim to dozens and dozens of Christians of how to share their faith with Muslims around them. And he said that he has a plan for another seminar coming up where he will be doing the same. It seems to me, as Paul and I were talking, it seems that God needed to get some white missionaries out of the Grand North. Basically, the only missionaries in the Grand North right now are those that will go up for a couple of days and then they'll come out. Go up a couple of days and then they come out. And when they go up, they try to do everything very quickly, quietly. They don't do any fanfare. They just do their business and they leave. And their business no longer is sharing the gospel. It is helping other people in medical work or as pastors or whatever. But it is the behind the scenes work now. Why? Because now is the time for Cameroonians to share their faith with Cameroonians. And that is what is happening in Mara now. About, I would say, at least 100 white missionaries, workers, administrators, whatever, they were forced to flee in the last 2 years, and they're gone. But the church is there. The northern part of Cameroon is about 20% Christian, 80% Muslim. Many, many years ago, the 20% Christian, they were too afraid, are not concerned or whatever about sharing their faith. Now, with Muslims gone, with the Christians gone, key Christians, key pastors, key lay people, key evangelists, key Cameroon missionaries, they're sharing their faith much more than what was happening before. So we praise God that as God ushered us out of Cameroon, that He left His people, His church, He strengthened His church, He got key leaders among His church in the Grand North, and now the work is going ahead even more than what it was doing when it was just left to the missionaries. So we praise God that He knew what was happening and He prepared this in advance.
So we said earlier this morning that we were moving on to a new place. If you get our update newsletters, you know that we just came back from Africa. We went there, and we weren't exactly sure what was going to happen. Last April, we were with our World Team Australia director, and I said to him, knowing that Mozambique is just across the Indian Ocean from Australia, how about if we try to recruit some missionaries from Australia? And he looked at me and he said, how about you try to recruit some missionaries from South Africa? And I said, okay, but I don't know how to do that. Well, it turns out that he is South African. So that was one little clue. And so he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to plan on a vacation in South Africa to see my mom next March, February, March. And so if you could come over to South Africa, I'll help you. So he did do that. We had also wanted to go back to Cameroon to pick up the last of our stuff because we only could bring back a majority of our stuff, but we had to leave some stuff behind. So now we do have all of our stuff from Cameroon. But we started out in South Africa, and we visited Bible schools and Bible colleges and churches and little bitty missions and bigger missions in South Africa. I actually needed to go back and study, and I still do need to study more, some of my South African history, because we found ourselves in a very strange situation. I believe that the Caucasian or white population of South Africa is more wealthy than we are. We went into churches that were gorgeous, and all of those people live in wonderful, fancy homes. And then you see the other population, the population that was really the reason for apartheid, they live in little shacks in lots of big cities, or they live out in the farms in very small houses. So it's still very evident there that apartheid just got over a few years ago. It was shocking to me because I was used to Cameroon where almost everybody was dark-skinned, and we were the few white faces around. There, I found lots of people who were white-skinned like me, and you went out to stores and things, and the people with the money were the ones that were there, so you kind of almost feel like, most of the population, but it's only 15% of the population. So I'm not sure what this Australian director, who's from South Africa, was thinking. Maybe he was thinking that we could recruit some of the 15% population to come over to Mozambique and help us. But my thoughts were, well, hey, there's 85% of the population who's not Caucasian, and they probably are the ones who can learn two languages, unlike me. I'm going to have to really study hard to learn Portuguese. And then one of those other ones Ray was showing you earlier this morning. But an African, I know Africans who know 6, 7, 8, 9 languages, and they just learn another one. They go live somewhere for 6 weeks, and there they are already speaking the language. So I'm thinking, you know, God, you could use this. You could use our going there. But in the process of going there, we ran into some Bible colleges that we asked them what their needs were, and then we said, how could we help you? And several of them said, hey, if you're going to set up in Mozambique, we'd love to be able to send you interns. So that was something I really enjoyed doing while we were in Africa, was having interns come and see the ministry and teach them during 6 weeks during their summer break or whatever. And so we're going to go back in August, Lord willing, and we're going to meet some of those Bible schools and Bible colleges. We're going to meet with a mission. And that has the potential of allowing us to not have to set up World Team in Mozambique, but be able to go in with another mission that's already set up there, not have to spend weeks, months, and however long it takes to get World Team set up in Mozambique, but to just go in on another organization. And then one last thing we'd like to do is to visit Mozambique, and that's twofold. We found out that SIL or Wycliffe's base has been sold to YWAM. Now, that's not a bad thing. It just means that the organization that we were talking to about building a place for us to hold seminars again in Mozambique, that organization no longer has the land. So we have to talk to another organization about the possibility of World Team building a seminar duplex so that we can live and we can have our friends come and stay with us while we do seminars. And we also want to go and visit the place where we'd like to send 5 missionaries from Southern California. They're about a year and a half behind us in getting to the field. I just want to tell you a little bit, this is an aside, what it's like to host a seminar in your home in Africa. We just hosted about 12 people in Ngaoundary, the halfway part between northern Cameroon and where the capital is. And we had these folks come, and they were kind of come and go, so it wasn't like a real seminar where you'd have them there for the whole time. But we got to the place, and I had called from America to make sure we had an apartment at this guest house. And they said, oh, sure, no problem. We get there, and they're like, well, you don't actually have any place to stay. And we had people coming down to visit. And so we said, Lord, we're pretty sure that it was of you that we come here, so we'll just have to see what you do. And he said, well, actually, I've decided that I will take the person that is coming, that's the president, and I'm going to move him, find out if there's another place I can put him, and we'll let you have the apartment that we were going to let him have. Well, that had 2 bedrooms. A bedroom with a double bed, and another bedroom with a single bed and a bunk bed. So here we are about to host a bunch of people in a 2-bedroom apartment with 3 extra beds. And we did have sort of a flat couch, a little bit like a pew. So we made do, and we quickly made friends with someone else who promised that they would let us use 2 of their beds. And we cooked and fed them 3 meals a day and had them stay somewhere. And fortunately for us, they weren't there all the time. But after the breakfast meal, we had someone come in and we studied from God's Word and we prayed together and we did more of that. Then we got lunch ready, we ate, had more prayer, had more someone else come and talk with them. Then we had supper, and then we had someone else come and talk with them, and just encouraging these believers who were from this Boko Haram ravaged area. And it was 4 days. At the end of the 4th day, Ray and I were completely exhausted, and we were really thankful that they were on their way home and safely on a bus to go back to Marwa, but it was exhausting. So when we say we want to build a duplex, it's so that we have a little bit of space to be able to actually do that well and have people come and stay with us for a week or so where we can teach them. And we want to do this for both Muslim background believers and for church leaders so that they understand how to build relationships with Muslims and have God lead people through the Holy Spirit to a relationship with Himself.
So what is ahead for us? Portuguese, learning right now. Paul mentioned that we will be going back in August. We are hoping to go to South Africa, to Johannesburg and Cape Town, and talk with the seminaries that we talked to a bit earlier, as well as churches and church leaders. We hope to go to Zambia, where there's a mission that we might be able to partner very closely with in Mozambique. And we want to go to Mozambique for a couple weeks. That's in August. And then we're going to come back here and make final preparations, hoping to leave in December. What is our ministry? Our ministry will be very similar to what we were doing in Cameroon. We'll be working one-on-one, our family, us and families together, in Muslim ministries, so that we will go to a Muslim household and share the faith, our faith with the Muslim household. So that is one part of what we'll be doing. And the other part is that we'll be leading a team. Right now we have 5 people from California that will be going to an orange people group called the Ngui. We'll be leading those 5 people. Paul mentioned about seminars. We are hoping to do what we did in Guatemala so that we will train church leaders, pastors, evangelists, lay people, anyone with a heart to share the gospel. We will train them and help them to share their faith with Muslims. The last thing is that we will be having a website that we will keep on working on improving and maintaining that will help Africans to share their faith with Muslims. So it will be with resources and networks for Africans sharing their faith with Muslims. So that is what we are looking at this next year. Pray with us. Pray for us that we will have 100% of our support, that we will be able to learn Portuguese well, that the website will go well. Pray for my health. We thought my health was good, but after 2 severe bouts in 6 weeks in Africa, 2 bouts in 6 weeks in a year, that would be over a dozen at that rate. No. We're talking with a doctor and seeing if there are some long-term solutions to that. So, thank you. We really appreciate being a team with you in Muslim ministries in Southern Africa. We're hoping that many tribes, not only with us sharing our faith, but with us helping others throughout Southern Africa to share their faith, that many, many tribes will hear the gospel, so that not only will there be a multiplication movement among the Koti and among the Yao, as we mentioned this morning, but there will be Muslim background believers, multiplication movements among tribes such as the Ngoni, the Mwani, the Metu, the Makwe, the Nahara, and we can go on and on and on. Pray with us and continue to be a team with us in sharing God's word throughout Southern Africa. Thank you.
Let's stand and pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the truth. You have made us stewards, and we have a responsibility to take this gospel to the whole world. Thank you for Ray and Paula. Thank you that they understand leadership dynamics, that they understand church growth principles. Thank you that they know how to utilize technology. And thank you that they are grounded in your word. Now I pray that you'll bless them, not simply to go and do the work, but bless them as they go and train others, and thereby multiplying the efforts of the church in Mozambique and wherever else they have had influence. Lord, I pray for Ray's health just now. Lord, help him and the doctors he's consulting with, that he'll enjoy good health, that he can continue to share the knowledge and the experience that you've given him. Thank you for Paula and for all that she brings into this ministry. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them fruit for their labors. As we partner together with them, we cannot all go to Mozambique, but we can go by proxy. We can go through the Yoders. And so we covenant together to pray for them and to support them as they go and train others. Lord, we pray for this gospel of the kingdom to go into all the world. Help us as we partner in that effort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.